Hey team, it's Francis. What a wild time it's been in the money world lately. Share market up, then down. Gold and silver up, then down. Crypto just doing its thing. You could be forgiven for asking what on earth is going on, which is exactly what the lovely Jim Mora from RNZ Sunday Mornings asked me to come on the show and answer. So I did. It's always lovely talking to Jim. We have some really wide-ranging conversations about the money world, and he and the team kindly said I could put the conversation on here for you to have a listen to as well. So, enjoy.
Tech stocks plunge as AI fears take hold. That's one headline. There have been many dramatic headlines in business media. Billions were wiped off the software-heavy NASDAQ index, partly thanks to AI. The AI named Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, from Anthropic, can compete with domain-specific tech now, which would seem to be the beginning of a trend. It's doing some of the work that junior lawyers can do. And Scientific American reports that software is becoming something you speak into existence. Thanks to Claude. Claude code can turn plain English into working software. They call it vibe coding. Bitcoin's lost half its value since October, which calls into question the promotion of Bitcoin as digital gold, a safe haven for money in uncertain times. And I also saw that historically Bitcoin, in case this is of use, if you buy crypto, it usually takes about 18 months to bounce back from its sloths. And we know about the prices of gold and silver leaping up and down. Frances Cook is a financial journalist. She hosts the Making Sense podcast and is the author of the bestseller, Your Money, Your Future. Kia ora, Frances. Good morning.
Good morning. Always lovely to be here.
The big question always in the background now is, when will the great share market correction crash come, if gold and silver are so volatile, not to mention crypto, and that situation is, you know, said to be a regular harbinger of doom? Do you see one? I want to get into this a bit more briefly, but do you see one coming?
Well, I think at the very least, some strong ups and downs in the share market are incredibly likely this year, because the US has its midterm elections, and almost always in the midterms, the share market goes down. And of course, the big US share market, if they sneeze, everyone else catches a cold. Some very smart people crunched the numbers over at the Motley Fool and said the odds of a correction this year is 70%. So that is quite high. The thing is, though, that 30% of it not going down, that 30% chance of it not going down, in the years when the midterms haven't made things go down, we've also seen some stonking high numbers, sometimes double-digit profits and returns. So it kind of tends to swing one way or the other, and there's no middle. So get ready for a bit of a ride. It'll either be really good or really bad.
I'll take that as meaning no one really knows. Would that be fair?
Yeah. We're all a bit confused, basically.
What they call the cyclically adjusted price-to-earnings ratio in the share market is at its highest ever level in 153 years of data. I saw total US debt, we know about that, don't we, as a percentage of GDP, is at the highest level ever. On the other hand, this is turning into a question, don't worry. On the other hand, the Wall Street Journal reports that Meta's revenue grew 22% year over year in 2025 to $201 billion, and the company's expecting maybe 34% this quarter. So does that say to you that AI is a balloon blowing up and waiting to pop? Or is it, and I'm quoting now, huge growth just scratching the surface of AI's potential? But a lot of this money, Meta money, is just kind of marketing revenue, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. You have absolutely nailed where I wanted to take that. AI looks solidly in bubbly territory to me. The prices that people are paying for shares, for stocks, to get in on these companies is so firmly untethered from any current profits. You know, at the same time, you see things like the dot-com crash in the very early 2000s. And there was a big old crash and a bunch of people lost money there too. But also a bunch of companies did come through the other side and were the next giants. It's just really hard to know which will be which. We do all live in the digital age now. We do all spend a lot of our time online now. A lot of the hype in the dot-com bubble was absolutely correct. It's just that there was a whole bunch of people jumping in on that hype to sell dreams that weren't true as well. And telling the difference between which company is doing which is really hard for people. But what you said there about a lot of the money with these big tech companies that are pushing AI so hard, the profits that they do have are actually mostly being driven by digital advertising. And that's a really interesting one to watch as well. Whether or not AI is in a bubble that's going to pop this year, next year, the year after, I do think at some point it's going to come back to reality. When will that happen? Who knows? But whenever that happens, the digital advertising side of things is a really important one to watch that a lot of people are missing right now, because that underpins a lot of the actual profits that big tech makes. When you look at Meta, ads is almost all of their earnings. Alphabet, otherwise known as Google, that's also most of their money. Amazon, the same. Even Microsoft and Apple, that you probably don't think of as being an ad company, that's, you know, solid profits coming to them from their ads. And we're talking multi-billion dollars. Now, they say that digital advertising is different. They say that the what we've seen in the past, where advertising goes down when economies are having a tough time, that it's different for them because digital ads are so cheap and people just see it as a cost of doing business now. So I feel like if I was in their position, I would say that, because that would be a good thing to say to make all the shareholders feel good about where the company was going.
Okay, so you're saying there's a possibility that sentiment, which digital advertising is dependent on, could change abruptly, as has happened in previous crashes, and influence things greatly.
Yeah, and tech is basically holding up the entire US economy right now. So if we do see digital ads having a problem, keep an eye on that.
It's interesting, isn't it? I know a lot of the big companies came through the dot-com crash and they've got really deep pockets, which is maybe one difference between now and then. But in 1929, as you will know, as a lot of people know, the famous economist Irving Fisher looked at the US share market and said stock prices have reached what seems to be a permanently high plateau. And he wasn't a stupid man. But and corporate earnings were rising and rising, and 2 weeks later came the worst crash in history. Fundamentals, many people say, are similar now, aren't they? So are we somehow in a post-fundamentals epoch or not? I mean, will AI really sustain this kind of present growth?
There's a saying that the share market is just a graph of rich men's feelings, which is very true sometimes. It gets hit by, you know, there can be all of this great profit and loss and that can impact things. But then it also impacts if people get a bit spooky, they can just sell out of things no matter what, because they say, oh, I think it's about to end. And they all try to jump before everyone else does. So those are the fundamentals that I'm always watching. How is the economy? How is the business world? Bit shaky currently. And then how are people feeling? You know, optimistic, confident, certainly not so much in New Zealand, maybe not so much in the US either, but maybe in other parts of the world they are. And those are the litmus tests that I'm running.
I saw our recovery this year, Francis, described as a recovery without conviction. What do you see ahead for us?
New Zealand, hopefully, is on a little bit of an upswing, but how much of an upswing we get, very debatable. It's an election year. So the same as when I was saying about the US midterms often causing economic trouble, an election year here in New Zealand often does cause economic trouble too, mostly because it just makes things so uncertain. That's the big problem, right? Uncertainty everywhere right now. We see a little bit of inflation creeping back up. The latest figures showed inflation up a little bit again. That could have knock-on impacts for interest rates. You know, they've just been going down again. Who knows if they'll hold or maybe even sneak back up a bit. Australia just put their interest rates back up a bit. So it's definitely, it's in the air. A lot of people were unhappy about that.
Yeah, the thinking was that mortgages would be refixed at a lower rate, a whole lot of them, in around about the middle of this year, and that would free up spending money. That might not necessarily come true to the extent that people have been thinking. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I think there was a lot of talk about how mortgage rates are just going to keep on going down, at least until sort of June-ish. And I think that could still happen. There's still a lot of predictions out there for that. It's a lot less certain than it was, though, especially with those inflation numbers, because inflation is now only just outside of the target band. And I think it was really easy. We had such stable inflation for a long time that when we did have inflation rip away and the cost of living ripped away and we suddenly all saw, oh my Lord, what's going on with my groceries? What's going on with, I've got to get new tires. Why are they costing $1 million? You know? And suddenly we remembered, oh, that's right. That's why inflation is so important. So they'll give us whatever nasty medicine they have to give us to keep inflation down. And so interest rates, not as certain as they were.
It'd be a nice car you owned with tires that cost $1 million, wouldn't it? It'd be like to see the car.
I have an EV. I do recommend them, but not for the tires. The tires are horrific.
If you want to put money into Bitcoin, simple question, why wouldn't you wait until there's an almighty crash? Because people seem to climb into these markets, as with gold and silver, when they've already risen. I know it's a story as old as time, but it is still a bit baffling. Wouldn't you wait until it's thoroughly lost all its value or nearly all of it and then buy some?
I mean, yeah, if you could predict it. There's a lot of very, very smart, very highly educated people who make good money promising and failing to find the best price for all sorts of assets, whether it's shares or Bitcoin.
I know what you're saying, but I was thinking, you read on the front page of the Herald that Bitcoin's suffered a terrible downfall, and then you just simply go and buy some that day.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah, I mean, it's the old thing, buy when others are fearful and sell when others are greedy, right? It's great. It's just really hard to do. We are such herd animals as people that the reason prices go up is it'll be when everyone is like, wow, Bitcoin has finally found a use and it's the future and all of these countries are going to adopt it as the global reserve. You know, it's the next big thing. And everyone goes, wow, amazing. And it doesn't sound like hype at the time.
Isn't it mainly men aged between 18 and 49 trading in crypto? Only 15% of Americans, and the same percentage I saw online of Kiwis. So 15% trust it enough as an investment. Those figures seem rough enough, I think.
Yeah, no, that's pretty right. It is definitely dominated by men very into crypto. And, you know, cards on the table. I personally don't invest in crypto. I have invested in businesses that serve the crypto market, but that's just a different form of share market and stock trading, because I like a good business where I understand their business model, they employ people, they make profits, and then I get some of them.
A couple of questions before we go about what you've said or thought recently, I think. Why do you think the age of property investing may be over?
There are some very interesting signs that property was for such a long time the surefire way that New Zealanders built wealth, prepped for retirement. And there are some signs that I think the golden age of that, at the very least, is coming to an end. Now, am I saying that property is a bad investment? No, not at all. Am I saying that you shouldn't buy your own home? No, not at all. But I just look at the way the political winds are blowing on this, and I think I see a switch coming from property being the default to the share market. Because for such a long time, things like a capital gains tax was openly discussed as being the third rail in New Zealand politics. It was not possible. If you suggest that, that's it. You're done. Not elected. Get out of here. And now there is actually so much more proper discussion of things like a capital gains tax. There's been so much discussion about our economy is unproductive, that we need more business support. There has been such a change in access to investments like the share market, and particularly people who felt locked out of property, that there is also a bit of a political wind blowing to push into more stimulus in that area, to make it easier to start businesses, to make it more attractive to be investing in businesses and the share market. As well as, on top of that, we've had I know that the property market is feeling a bit of a buyer's market at the moment, but that's partly because prices went up so high, and yes, they've come off the peak, but there's a limit on how much people can pay. So a lot of the property investment, the money that's come from that has come from capital gains, from the property going up in value, not from things like rent. Things like rent just sort of kept it barely ticking along. Maybe I'll have my Fisher moment where I say property investment is over, and then it immediately rips away and makes plenty more money for everyone, and then I get to look like a fool, and that's a fun time. But I look at the signs that are there and say there's a political change happening, there's a price ceiling that people are hitting, and I suspect we're going to see a little bit of a change on the preferred investment for New Zealanders. Stay tuned on that. I'm still working on that.
Okay, good to have your opinion. And on one more topic before we close, do you have some sort of theory that so long as Donald Trump is in the Oval Office, volatile markets will continue to bounce up as well as down?
Absolutely. I think Trump has made his hallmark being unpredictable and being volatile. That's literally his tactic, to be unpredictable so people don't know what he's going to do next. And that's one of his levers that he uses to give himself power. We have seen this absolute volatility. We have seen things bouncing here, there, and everywhere. The gold and silver crash. Bitcoin had an enormous crash. We've had the share market up and then down. We've had bonds even getting, you know, unprecedented movements from what's usually a fairly stable asset. So, yeah, I just think as long as Trump is in power, that's his move. That's how he works. And I think plan accordingly. Basically, plan for the unplannable. Expect the unexpected.
Yes, but I inferred from reading that you also think the market will bounce up from its depths as long as he is there and his volatile presence is creating that kind of feverish atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, he is also a money guy. As much as, you know, he might make decisions that you look at and think, really, why? He is a guy that watches the markets and is very interested in the business world. And, you know, people might protest him or take to the streets. That often does nothing. He does pay attention to the markets and he does respond to markets. He doesn't like the share market being down. And he's particularly a fan of big tech. So I would expect to see, and this is again my personal opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gives more boosts to the tech sector in the US. I wouldn't be surprised if he also gives a little bit of a boost to crypto. He finds that pretty interesting. I do think there is possibility for wild swings up as well as down.
I'm just writing that down. No crash till 2028. Or thereabouts. Who knows, as you say. Lovely to talk to you as always, Frances Cook. Thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely to be here.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.